He's a member of Car 97. He teams up with Shane Van Gisbergen and Garth Tander joins us. They're third favourites for Bathurst. Welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast, mate.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Are you? We were just saying before you came on, there's a vibe in the air. It's a bit like the castle, you know. How's the serenity,
the vibe.
Yeah, gee, this is a good joint, isn't it?
It is. It's one of those places that it's just got that special aura about it. And for us, it's our grand final. It's not the final race of the year, but it's got that same sort of atmosphere, that same sort of anticipation. It's a bit like the Melbourne Cup. It's one of those races that you don't have to have a deep motorsport interest to be following it, but you'll always have a passing interest. So for us, it's a fantastic race and the one that we all want to win.
I think that's so true. You know, you don't have to be a car enthusiast, but you know Bathurst is on, and most people would, at some point in the day, switch the telly on, and they sit there, whether they watch 5 minutes or whether they watch an hour or whether they watch the whole race. At some point, everyone has a bit of a look to see what's going on. But as a driver, and your role has obviously changed, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but you know the challenges that are thrown up at Bathurst every year. It's just not the same, is it, year after year? There's so many different challenges when you think you've seen it all. Something else jumps out.
Yeah, well, that's what I think makes Bathurst so special, is that every year there's some sort of quirky storyline that sort of dominates the lead-up or dominates the race and how you contend with that and how you deal with that, you know, if you're involved in whatever is happening.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a terrible sporting cliche, but this joint gives you the highest of highs. And because you could receive the highest of highs, when it goes wrong, it's the lowest of lows. Yeah, I hate that cliche, but it's true. It's that's why we sort of classify that as it's our, like our grand final. Like if you lose a grand final, you're devastated and all you want to do is go again. And that's the same for us.
Do you, because it is such that, you know, the highs and the lows, preparation wise, are you in simulators? Are you practicing for this event in your mind?
Yes.
Months, like we're talking mid year?
Oh, not mid year. You burn out. You'd be buggered before you even start on track. But certainly in the weeks leading up, you're driving the track in your head every night when you're laying in bed. You're doing laps in your head and just trying to get yourself into the rhythm of the place. And certainly for me, I'm not racing full time anymore, so I'm not in these cars as often as I have been. You've got the luxury of calling on 20-odd years of experience, so you can call that up and rely on that.
So when you say that, so you lay down, your head on the pillow, and what, you know, you're just fair dinkum going, okay, and what are you, you're going right, left, right?
Yeah,
you know the track.
Know the track back with your eyes closed. So it's like turn one, brake 110 metres, fourth gear, back to second, turn in, late apex, get on the gas early for the run up the hill.
Good.
And then 23 corners later, you've done a lap. Yeah. So you're just running through that whole rhythm, that whole, okay, you got to change down two gears here, turn in late, all that sort of stuff. And running through all that in your head every time. So you end up doing, I don't know, 20 laps at night. So probably already done 1,000 laps this year.
You're won Bathurst three times, but what's the most challenging part of the track?
Easily across the top of the mountain, and you know, literally from the cutting, so turn three, where you sort of really turn up the hill, to when you get down to Forest Elbow and the run on the Conrod Straight, like the speed through Reed Park, McPhillamy Park, it's 200 plus kilometres an hour, and the concrete walls are like just there, so there's no room for error. And then the run down the hill from Skyline down to the Dipper, down through to Forest Elbow. The speeds aren't as fast there, but the consequences of getting it wrong, because the walls, both sides are very close. So we saw that Chas Mostert crash a couple of years ago. That wasn't a fast crash. That was only 140k an hour, but just the damage that it can do.
I've always wanted to know with drivers, and you know, you've got your co-driver and you're sitting there in the pitch and you're watching it unfold on the screen. You know, rugby league players, AFL players, when they make a mistake, you know, they're always up to their teammate, one more set or bad luck, don't worry about it. But deep down, you're filthy.
Yeah.
Is that the same with a racing car driver? When you see your co-driver out there and he makes a bit of a mistake, you do the, oh, silly bugger.
No, not really, because, no. I mean, because both, I mean, you, there's two drivers in the driving crew and both of you will make mistakes through the day. So there's no point jumping on the other boat's back and really getting into him, because, or even doing the, oh, she'll be right, mate, down deep, you're a little bit dirty, because that could be you. You know, it could be literally an hour later that could be the other way around. So, like, you're certainly in it together, and you just obviously, that's what's going to be the big thing this year, I think. I mean, the race is going to be a lot faster, and there's always little mistakes, and a lot of the time people don't actually notice them or see them, but it's minimising the mistakes this year, because the pace is going to be very, very fast.
Well, I assume when you come into a race like this, you've got, you know, plan A and B, but you'd have to have everything covered, and sometimes you don't have everything covered because you don't know what's about to unfold.
100%. You have, from a strategy point of view, for the way you think the race will play out, you have probably three plans going into the race that, okay, if this happens, we'll go with plan B, and if this changes, then we'll switch to plan C. But, you know, you can't have a plan for every scenario.
Yeah.
And really, this race, because it's so long, and there are so many variables, I mean, the two American drivers that are here this weekend, you say, there could be a safety car for kangaroos on the track. Like, what other race in the world do you have to neutralise the race because the natural wildlife's on the racetrack? So you can't plan for that. So you've got to be able to think on your feet. And the teams that think on their feet are generally the ones that will get the success.
And who's involved in all those conversations? Are the drivers the ones that make those decisions? Obviously, you've got your team there, but do they
generally
come to you and ask for advice?
It's generally the team. I mean, when it's when it's changeable weather, so if it's looking like it's starting to rain and things like that, and we're on dry tyres and there's a decision coming about putting wet tyres on, they'll often ask the driver, well, how wet is it out there? Can you get away with slick tyres? And then what comes into is how much fuel's in the fuel tank? Because if there's still, you know, half a tank of fuel in the fuel tank and you're thinking about tyres, you'll make a decision and you'll come in and get them. But if there's only two laps to go before you know you're going to run out of fuel, it's like, oh, mate, can you survive? And then the driver becomes involved in that conversation. Well, but general strategy, the crew have got so much information with their screens and their data and all the rest of it. They run the show and they just call us up on the radio.
I can't believe how you blokes do it with the distractions. Like, if you're driving along with the Mrs. Laurie and you're trying to focus on the rain, she's talking, going, please, give me
obviously
a spell.
Obviously, got the music up.
Give me a spell. Turn the music. You're doing 200k across the top of the mountain, and a bloke and you going, oh, you know, watch fuel, watch back tyre, etc. Is there much prep and training for that, or is that just something you pick up and you just, like that selective hearing, the old, you know, oh, I need you to mow the lawn, and you go, it'll be done.
No, you definitely, you do have to learn how to absorb that while you're doing, you know, across the top. And generally we try and set it up so that you're only talking on the straight. So when you come out of Forest Elbow, down big long run down Conrod Straight, they can talk to us there, or going up Mountain Straight. Generally, they'll only talk to us across the top of the mountain if it's like an emergency, like there's a crash ahead and they're trying to pre-warn us.
This probably sounds like a silly question, but is it easier to get in front and stay there all day, or would you prefer to maybe, you know, sit behind and follow and then sort of make a charge at, yeah, later in the afternoon?
Not a silly question, because different teams go for different strategies when it comes to that. A lot of teams like to be at the front, and you feel like you can manage the race more from the front of it. From the front, a lot of teams will be, oh well, we're just content, you know, for the first, you know, 400k of 1,000 to be, you know, in the top three or four, just be hovering around. And then realistically, a lot of teams will go, well, we're not capable of being, you know, we don't have the speed to be in the top five right now. So we're content 10th, 12th. And then we may do an alternate strategy, or we may take an opportunity, you know, if a safety car comes out at a quirky time, we may take that.
Yep.
And then that may vault us up to the front later in the race. So you certainly in the first half to two-thirds of the race, there'll be a lot of, you know, manoeuvring without really going for gold. And usually in the last 100, 150 Ks, that's when the, you know, gloves come off and it's on.
Anyone you really just want to, even if you don't win it, you just want to be in front of
them.
Give
a bit of a shunt or something at some point.
There's a bit of spice this year in pit lane, isn't there? There's a few blokes that don't like each other.
Yeah, there's always been like that. But there's 26 cars on the grid, so I'll be happy to beat 25 of them, mate, to be honest with you.
Into politics. Gar, thank you very much for joining us, mate, on the program. Good luck to Red Bull Holden Racing Team. As I said, your third favourite, so no pressure, mate. There's going to be plenty of people.
We'll fix that up. We'll be top favourite by Sunday morning.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, I love the confidence. Thanks very much for joining us,
mate.
Good luck for the weekend.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks, Gar. Thank you.